Hey, Carm here, and I love stories. You know, podcasting, in essence, is storytelling. And when hearing stories, I always learn and look to relate from my real-world experiences. This episode, by the way, is the first time I've asked a few coaches to come on and tell a story about their client relationship, be it successful or not. In these stories, you will hear about the impact of culture in a major turnaround, where the missing money went, and the impact of fleet business on your business, and more.
Well, here we are, a full year and a half into it, and they're having a record profit year. They went from losing $60,000 to $80,000 in 2017, 2019, netting over $250,000. The team came together. Management understood that culture has to be developed.
Welcome, automotive aftermarketers, to a Remarkable Results Radio Town Hall Academy. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Hey, Carm Capriato here, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast guy. So nice to have you here partaking in the Town Hall Academy, the aftermarket's original weekly forum for the forever student, where we take a single subject you know each week and openly discuss it so you benefit. Now, I bet you have some time on your hands, and if so, it just may be the time to invest in transforming your shop with the only shop management system that will give you more profit and more time. Find out how shops using Shopware are driving up their profit with a more efficient staff and happier customers. Visit GetShopware, that's GetShopware.com, for a free demo. Hey, you've discovered the value of podcasts in the aftermarket, and you get an opportunity always, like today, to be a fly on the wall on this discussion with two aftermarket coaches. Every week with every podcast and Carmcast, we are always looking out for your best interest. You know, information is changing daily on the COVID-19 CARES Act. Please seek guidance and support from your accountant and banker to complete the SBA application to help support your business. See the homepage, remarkableresults.biz, of my website for great podcasts and Carmcasts listed specifically there on what other shop owners are doing to sustain their business through COVID-19. There's downloads and there's links. It's a comprehensive list on the homepage. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to Remarkable Results Radio, where you get your podcast. Now, we've been going strong for 5 years and over 700-plus episodes delivering the voices, trends, and insights that are shaping the future of the aftermarket. And I believe there's always something to learn around the next corner. Stories from the Front Line of Coaching is a novel format, and we're doing it for the first time right here with Bill Haas and Bob Greenwood as they share their stories with you from their coaching experience. Now, you know how much I believe in having a coach or consultant working side by side with you and your team, driving your business acumen, helping build your short and long range goals, and growing your people, your sales, and your profits. Now, find the talking points that will make a great meeting agenda at remarkableresults.biz/A167. Hey, listen to these four short stories in this short podcast that will help you, I guarantee, learn just one thing. Bill Haas is here from Haas Performance Consulting. Hey, Bill.
Good morning.
Nice to see you, man. And Bob Greenwood, Automotive Aftermarket eLearning Center. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
So here's what we're going to do. Occasionally, when I've always gotten the coaches together, we've heard some great stories from them. And we get these little snippets, and I love to hear them. Tell us about how some of the great success stories that you've had or your clients have had, and maybe we can get our industry to think and relate and to learn from these incredible stories. And so they each have brought a couple of stories with them, and we'll see how much time we have and how long they want to go. But I want to start with Bill Haas, Bill, and have you just come on and you know, sit by the side of the fire here and have a story time chat with us.
Okay. Well, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. And by the way, before I get started, I want to thank you and applaud you for all that you've been doing for the industry with keeping people informed of all the things that are going on and how we're affected by the COVID. You've been an incredible resource. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate that.
So I've got a story that the first one I thought I'd share is kind of the highs and lows of what goes on, and not only a repair shop, but the relationship with a coach as well. So this was somebody been in the business for a number of years, you know, probably recognized as being pretty successful, both in their community and in the industry as well. And I've had gotten to know them, and many times, of course, the conversations would turn to how are things going, how's business, what's going on. And, you know, the last couple times I would talk to him, he'd be, you know, man, it's really a struggle. It's just not as easy to make money as it used to be. And so we'd touch on little things in the business, but he was always pretty guarded, not ready to just let his guard down and tell you what truly is going on. And eventually I had the opportunity that he approached me and said, look, I really need some help. He said, I'm not doing very well. And I said, no problem. Let's see what we can do. And, you know, it turns out been in business for many, many years. Really great tech. Owns a nice shop, and he honestly was really struggling. And so we started looking at the numbers, and we started going through the financial piece of this, and I learned that for the last 5 years, he wasn't making any money. He was actually either taking personal money, you know, infusing personal money into the business, or finding ways to borrow money to infuse that into the business to just keep things going. So we knew, you know, I knew from, you know, the get-go that this was not going to be an easy thing, and, you know, wanted to prepare him for the hard work it was going to take for what he would need to execute to get there. So, you know, to make a very long story fairly short, you know, we took this shop that the year before he started working with me, he'd lost about $40,000. And so the very first year that I worked with him, I was pretty proud of the fact that he did a lot of the hard work, and he cut that loss in about half. And without making gigantic, you know, gains in sales, that was a huge accomplishment. And so by the second year I'm working with him, and now he's really doing the hard work. He's really paying attention. He's doing all the things he's being asked to do. We're getting past a lot of the challenges of, you know, the typical thing that we hear from somebody is, well, you know, Bill, that might work a lot of places, but that's just not going to work here. You know, that's the uniqueness of their challenges. But past that, so in the second year, this shop makes in excess of $50,000 in net profit. So if you think about that, 2 years prior, he lost 40. Now here we are making over 50. Great accomplishment, huge accomplishment. Sales are growing, the business had changed drastically, doing all the right things. We get into the tax, doing the taxes for that year with that net profit. And he was so disgusted that he now had to pay income taxes. And it's like, I'm not going to do that. I said, what do you mean you're not going to do that? I'll never let this happen again, was pretty much the response I got. And believe it or not, this, you know, here I'm, you know, seeing this as a huge opportunity. I'm seeing all the potential of, man, we've just barely scratched the surface of what we're going to be able to do with this company. Well, the downside of all this was, from the point that he learned what his tax liability was, he spent the next 2 years making sure he didn't make any money. And our relationship dissolved, of course, and, you know, I couldn't continue to work in that kind of environment. And so the reason I tell this story is, be careful what you ask for.
He wasn't prepared to make any money. Why was he in? Why was he in the deal with you?
I don't know if it was just to, you know, to prove to himself that he really could do it if he wanted to. But it was really unfortunate, and he's still in business, and he's right back to where he was before we ever. You know, so maybe he just had to learn what he didn't like. I don't know. I've never understood it. Okay. The only thing, you know, made this a bad thing was the fact that he had to pay taxes.
What a great story. Have you changed your tune when you work with a client and say, hey, up front, by the way, I want to let you know that you, when we're all done with this in a couple of years, you may have to pay some taxes. Are you prepared to do that?
You know, I have always prepared people for that. Owing taxes is the reward. That's the success, right? Being successful comes with you're going to pay taxes. Paying taxes isn't a bad thing. And part of it for him was he was so negative about just the government and the administration and that the money wouldn't be used appropriately. And I mean, and he had this long litany of things that are just like that we don't have any control over.
Okay.
So it was just a really strange outcome. I've never had anything like that happen before. I haven't had anything like that happen since. Have I learned things from it? Yeah, certainly. There were lessons for me in that as well.
Well, thank you for the story. Great story, Bill. And hopefully people in our audience, he asked for the help and then he ended up not wanting it because you found a way to give him a $90,000 swing in profitability. You know, and it goes back to one of the great stories that we've done here, the profit first thing, by just put the money away. Just put it away. And so when the tax obligation comes, it's there.
Right.
And the other great story is I heard Bill say, and there was so much more to make, but he didn't want to do it. Didn't want to go. I love that part. So much to make. Thank you for that, Bill. And again, I hope our audience can relate to that and learn something from it. Hey, Carm here. Now think about your shop management system. Isn't it the center of your business? And most of us are running on systems that are decades old, and you know who you are. It's time to change and get the benefits that a modern system can bring to your business. Shopware Shop Management is a cloud-powered management system that gives your staff and your customers the end-to-end digital experience that they expect. With Shopware, you can see every job and view work updates in real time, and you can manage your shop from anywhere with any device, and that's becoming more important than ever. You'll see your customers interact with digital work orders and buy services from you more often with less effort. You can earn more parts profit with just the click of one button and with less paper, too. You'll also get improved efficiency from your staff. Do this. Request a live tour of Shopware at shop-ware.com. Look, it's time to make the switch and get started making more money with a powerful, modern business tool designed to solve your biggest challenges. Robert Greenwood, give us one.
That's part of my slogan is we develop net profit. So you better be prepared to pay tax. And that goes along with it, period. I have a client that was doing really well, and then the COVID came in, and his business kind of went upside down, and things started to really die off fast. And this was 4.5 weeks ago, and we got talking, and I said, you know, it's time to revisit your daily routine, because he was all over the map. He was in the base. He's on the front counter. He's trying to do business stuff and, you know, look after paperwork. He was all over the place. He had no routine. So I said, you've got to relearn your position as an owner. So we had to revisit his routine. What's your purpose as a business owner? Your purpose as the owner is to keep the business moving forward, to engage the team and making sure they're doing quality work on behalf of the client. But your base have dried up. So we've got to get some business. So I said, you have a pretty good base of commercial accounts. And you're telling me a lot of your commercial accounts now, their vehicles are just parked because their business is down. That's an opportunity. I said, what I want you to do is go back and visit each file and look at each vehicle of each client and to find out exactly where their status is for safety and reliability. What has to be done? Because there's going to be a time this all turns around and those vehicles are going to be up and going again. And the last thing he wants or you want is 2 days are up and going and it breaks. He's got to be able to get right off. So what I would like you to do is set up a personal appointment face-to-face, keep your distance, but face-to-face, and go through the thought process of saying, hey, your vehicles are here. We can do a pickup and delivery. And here are the things we're recommending on this vehicle. Here's what we're recommending on that vehicle. The other stuff we can look after when we're up and running solid, but these are the things dramatically needed for safety and immediate reliability. So when you are up and going, you know they're going to be going. And he went through each vehicle with the various clients. He made meetings. And the clients thanked him. He said, I've never really looked at that. This is an opportunity to bring them back up and get them done. We're not, you know, it may need $3,000 worth of work. No, we're talking $800 here to $1,000 maybe. We got it. So it's going to be up and running, ready to go when you're going. And we'll look after the other stuff later on. We'll schedule it in. All of a sudden, he realized his job is to go out and build the business. So he had to explain to his team, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be out. I'm making appointments and talking. And when the business starts to come in, you are expected to look after it properly and making sure every client enjoys the visit, enjoys the experience that we're bringing to them. 4 weeks ago, he had nothing. Now he's booked a week and a half to 2 weeks in advance. But he had to relearn his position. He wasn't a guy who's supposed to be running around the business. He was supposed to define his routine. What is my purpose in the business? And it's interesting how many owners really haven't thought about a routine, daily routine they should be doing for their position in the business. So it's just something that really worked out well. He's back on track. He's enjoying his relationship with his clients. And he's out there talking good business, positive business during trying times. So it's the way he presented it made a lot of sense. So those stories are kind of different. But everybody talks about how things were down.
It's a great story. Thank you. You know, you preach so much. The CEO has to is in charge of growing his top line of his business. And, you know, it's a perfect story that lends into, you know, one of your strategies. I think COVID-19, this pandemic, if anyone in our industry, from technician to service advisor to owner to supplier, hasn't thought about what they do and how they do it and why they do what they do, it's going to be different.
COVID-19 brings opportunities. And the opportunities are to reinforce and build your relationships with your client base. Now you have the time and so do they.
Yeah, we love to be firemen and stay busy and not stop, you know, and back up a spec and realize that it's only going to get us so far.
You know, one of the things that I take away from Bob's story there that I think is really important in this is that owner would have never done that on their own. And they would have never come to the realization that they needed to evaluate what they were doing and how they were doing it and that some changes need to be made. That, in most cases, takes somebody from the outside looking in to be able to say, okay, I know all the things you do, just like you do. I know your routine. But let's think about something new or different in your routine. How are we going to change your routine that would do something that gives us a positive outcome? And that, in most cases, needs to come from somebody else.
Great point. There was a Q&A here on Zoom. So I know several owners that make sure that they take their profits down to nothing. Not sure how they expect to sell a business that shows no profits. Unless Rite Aid wants the corner. I didn't really know how this was going to go, but I am so into this. Thank you so much for these first two stories. Bill, I'm going to ask you to do another one.
Well, I've got another one, but before I do that, I think, you know, let's stress the fact that there's no better time than right now to make the changes in your business. So for somebody, I hear this from shops, they'll say, yeah, I really want to change my shop management system, but we're just too busy to do it right now. Well, now's the perfect time to do it because now you have the time to go through all the transitions and you know, learn all the you know, features and functionality. So whether it's changing your marketing, whether it's changing your shop management system, whether it's changing your staff, there's no better time than right now. You have more time now than you've ever had. Use that time to make those changes that you know you need to be making.
Right, Bill. I've heard the stories on digital vehicle inspections also, where we have now some extra time on our hands to slow down, to get it right, to take better pictures, to find out if what we have and how we've set it up is working. And so to your point, excellent point. Hey, here's the thing. If you're not busy, you should be busy doing stuff.
Absolutely. So next story, get a call from a shop owner who's just really frustrated. They're like, Bill, you know, business is good. I think we make money, but I never have any money left. I mean, every month we pay all the bills, we pay all the help, you know, but there's never any money left over. And that was compounded by the fact that he'd been asking his accountant every month, how are we doing? Oh, you're doing great. You know, I'm listening to the story and I'm thinking, okay, so here's a shop that is able to pay their bills. They seem to be okay, but yet they don't have any money. They never have any money left over. And the accountant says, oh, you're doing great. So I said, well, let's take a look at your financials. Let's see what this really looks like. So we got the financials for about 9 months of the year and started looking at the financials, and percentages weren't what they should be, okay? But the bottom line was, through about 9 months, there was about $70,000 in net profit. So I'm thinking, well, if there's $70,000 in net profit, that makes sense for why the accountant is saying, oh, you're doing fine, you're having a good year. But there was one thing missing in all the financial information. And the thing that was missing was the owner's pay. So I called the owner back and I said, hey, I'm going through this stuff. And tell me something. Are you paying yourself? He's like, yeah, I pay myself every week. I'm like, okay. So how much have you paid yourself? He says, give me a second. I'll tell you. $67,000. Well, there's this $70,000 net profit. So I said, I'm going to bet that you're an LLC. He said, yeah, I'm an LLC. I said, well, there's our problem. I said, because you're an LLC, your member draw shows up on your balance sheet. It doesn't show up in your profit and loss statement. So you've got a profit and loss statement that shows we've got a $70,000 profit. I said, but as soon as I take your pay out of that, I said, in 9 months, I'm down to about a $3,000 net profit. He said, why couldn't my accountant tell me that? I said, well, that I can't answer. I said, but what I can answer is this. You have some problems to fix. I said, but, fortunately, this is the thing that's going to get your attention for you to start to understand why you need to do things correctly in charge of correcting your labor rate, correcting your parts gross profit, your productivity in the shop. And so we worked together for a number of years. He was a great student. He was a great listener. He was good at implementing and doing, again, the hard work. And I always, refer to this as the hard work, because when you work with somebody like this and you're able to see the changes in their business, and they always seem to want to come back and appreciate the coach for what the coach did. And I said, I didn't do anything. I just gave you the right information. You had to do the hard work. So I think one of the things that people should take away from this is that if you're going to engage with somebody like us, be prepared to do hard work, because it's not easy work. It is hard work. I'm just going to help you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to give you information. But you got to do the hard work. But those are the fun stories. That's the kind of thing that I love, to be able to take somebody like that and put their business in a position where, by the time they were making the $70,000 net profit, it was a true net profit number. And, this was another one that, we just scratched the surface and we continued to grow from there. So a couple things. Be careful of where you're getting information, because if you get bad information, you're not going to make good decisions.
So no cash in the business because it was really spent on the owner's salary.
He had to live.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was how the structure of the P&L was formed. Do you find that when you get a client, they call their bookkeeper their accountant, and it's really, they don't have a CPA?
Well, certainly I run into that. I run into people that have bookkeepers and a CPA and refer to them as their CPA, okay? I think a worst case is that when someone in the business is trying to be the bookkeeper, that's a huge challenge, okay? Because they don't understand bookkeeping. They don't have a bookkeeping background. Whatever their background was, whatever they were educated in and wherever they spent most of their career, has nothing to do with bookkeeping or accounting. And so those books are, undoing those books is really a nightmare.
Good story, Bill. Thank you. You'll always be able to zero in and find out why there isn't any profit there. I'm sure your client was pretty shocked to know it. Is he doing good now?
He's doing great. He's doing fantastic.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. Robert, I'm going to give you the last story here. We'll have a discussion about it, and we'll call a nice, quick, fast, short Town Hall Academy.
I know Bill's been through this, too. People ask you, why do you keep doing what you're doing? And because we love it. And when you have a story like this, this keeps you motivated that you want to continue the processes. I took on a client roughly 2 years ago. They approached me, and we had a discussion. And they were constantly losing for the past 3 years, 60 grand a year minimum. It ranged between 60 and 80. Now, fortunately, they had another portion of their company that was profitable, but they could not get these darn service bays profitable. So we took a whole new approach and a dive into it. And listening and talking with the owner, I really discovered he had no idea how to measure the business, what he should be looking at. He had no culture in the shop itself as to what they stood for and what they represented. And so we really tore it all apart. And I had to break it down and discuss with him hard things. I'm saying, I don't know why you're doing it this way. It doesn't make sense. You're not even measuring the revenue properly. All you're measuring is commodities as one category and some labor. That tells you nothing. You have to break out your revenue so you can see what's going on. So I said, we got to take an approach, and it's not going to happen overnight. I would estimate a year to 2 years of hard work is going to take place here. And the first thing we want to do is get everybody on the same page reading from the same book. So we had to go through that process of training the technicians, training the service advisors, training administration. This is what this company, this is what this business is about today. And this is how you go about making profit. Now we had to go break it down into individuals. Your role in the company is this, your role is this, and your role is this. So the technicians started to learn precisely what their role was more accurately and what their contribution meant to the business. The service advisor was the same, and administration was the same. And on top of this was the owner who's overseeing this with me. So we go through everything. Next thing you know, things started to change. One of the biggest changes he made was his communication level with his team. He really stepped that up. I said, I want a daily communication with the team. I want them to be able to have daily objectives, weekly objectives, and monthly objectives. And we're going to post those on a nice big whiteboard, and so they can see their progress and what they're made. All it was at this time was build hours. We got to get this moving properly. Don't have a whole pile of stuff to confuse them. Let's keep it simple. So it started to move forward. And then we started to hear how we were approaching the clients of the shop and what their discussions were at that front counter. And we got into the education game, saying educating the client as to what's going on with their vehicle, how we saw it, and what we recommended for safety, reliability, and efficiency of the vehicle. Well, here we are, a full year and a half into it, and they're having a record profit year. They went from losing $60,000, $80,000 in 2017, 2019, netting over $250,000. The team came together. Management understood that culture has to be developed. And that management, that owner, is in charge of the culture development. Their whole team looks at a career position in the company, not a job position. They are viewed and their opinions count. Constant communication is taking place. So now we've had the COVID-19 thing came into place. The team has been taking steps to make sure all vehicles are properly sanitized. They're protecting themselves. They're communicating with the client. They're offering pickup and delivery. And they're also marketing in their community that any first responders, and they start listing them all from the doctors, the nurses, the people in cleaning the hospitals, right down to grocery store clerks. You have priority booking in our company for your vehicle because we now know your shifts are not normal anymore. and we're going to make sure your vehicle is going to be safe. So you get priority appointments. And they're just finding the whole idea of communicating stronger and what you stand for and how you stand for it, what you represent, attracts good clientele. I want to be part of that. I like their thinking. But it had to start right with the owner, understanding what the business is about and how to get it there is not a quick fix.
Hey, Bob, how hard was it for the owner to make this transition?
It was tough. We spent hours talking, hours. But he went through it, and he did it, and he got himself through it. And I applaud him.
Was the team hungry for this?
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
Yeah, they wanted to see success all around them, I bet you.
Yeah, yeah. And now they're paid well. You know, they feel part of the company. They want to make sure it progresses and keeps progressing. That's what business is about today.
A hell of a story. We've done so much. Go to the Key Talking Points page on my website. We've done so much on culture. In fact, Bill and Bob, you've been so involved in that. It's so critically important, and I thank you for that. Here's a comment from Donnie Hudson. One of the biggest things you need to do is let everyone know we are open, especially in today. Advertise that you're open for business. Use social media. They get 5 to 6 calls a day asking if they're open. When that happens, you have to stop and ask yourself, we're doing a poor job of telling people during this crisis that we are open. But then, social media is sometimes a crapshoot that someone's actually going to see your post too. I mean, those algorithms that exist on who sees what posts are just amazing. Probably can launch a rocket ship. They're so complicated. But so this past week, we also did a Carmcast on 4 shop owners that did apply for the CARES Act. Keith Katz from York, Pennsylvania was on. He applied and then he emailed me yesterday and said he got his money. So it really was almost a little less than a week where he actually got the money. I won a hell of a nice chunk of change to help keep his people gainfully on the payroll. So I think we're this is an amazing time in our world and in our lives. And I think everyone in the industry, if you've not applied for your share of and get that SBA loan, and it's a grant, if you will, if you do it all right. By the way, here's the key. If you don't spend it on payroll, you're gonna owe it back. What are you telling your clients, Bill?
Well, I think it'll get better. I mean, when we get on the other side of this thing, it's certainly going to get better. I think for us as an industry, it's probably going to get better really fast, because the cars that aren't being driven now because people are at home that they're not working, those cars start getting driven again. They're going to need service. They're going to need repairs. I think the biggest thing for us, long-term is car sales tank. I mean, you just saw the numbers come out from NADA earlier this week. They took their projection of 16.8 million sales for this year. That projection is now down to 12.8 to 13.2. And I think for most people, when this thing is over and you sit back and think about where I spend money and how I spend money, I don't think most people are going to look at, geez, hey, I've got $500, $600, $700, $800 a month that I want to spend on a new car payment. And that's going to be great for us as an industry, because the cars that people are driving today are going to be the cars that people continue to drive. And I think they're going to be more prone to invest in the repairs and maintenance on those cars than going out and buying a new car. Now, that's probably going to be short-lived. That probably only happens for a couple of years. So we need to make sure we're in a position to take advantage of making sure that we provide all that maintenance and repairs for those cars that people continue to drive.
Guys, thanks for coming on and sharing your stories. I learned a bunch of things. It's always great to hear the stories from the aisle seat, from the front row. So thank you to Bill Haas from Haas Performance Consulting and Bob Greenwood from Automotive Aftermarket eLearning Center. We're going to do this again next week with 2 additional coaches, and then back to topics that we usually do each and every week here on the Town Hall Academy. So thank you all. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.